Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
Last weekend we started our new series, a good one. And this is the title, What Happens? What happens in the last days? You go to have an answer for that question. You're going to have an answer. You cannot dodge it. You're going to have an answer for it. And so last weekend, we actually picked on from Jesus' answer to that question in Matthew 24. He summarized in a very good way. So, but Pastor Brian, I like the two points that we picked from the signs that Jesus highlighted in Matthew 24. I like this one. I like the fact that he warned us that many deceivers and scoffers will come. And they've already come. They're in Kampala. They're everywhere. Many scoffers. But this one is even better, this other sign. Among us, the many, he highlighted. Actually, last weekend we summarized 6, but I want to give you a second. This one is the real one which excited me last weekend. That the gospel will be preached to the whole world. That means nobody alive has an excuse. Everybody has heard the gospel. And you can't get the details of what we explained that to me. You go and check it online. What we're really trying to say is this. Just as there will be an end to the age, as Jesus said, also our lives here on earth will have an end. We are not going to live here in this order forever. There's going to come a day when the end will come. What I'm saying, there's going to be a day when you will die. I'm not trying to prophesy. That's the truth. That's the truth. Even we are going to die, actually. We like to put the coffin around here. He says that three guys crashed in a car accident, and when they reached heaven, there was some sort of orientation in heaven. And so they asked the first man, what would you want the people to say in your funeral? He said, I want them to say that I was a very good doctor. I treated people very well. I was a heart surgeon, a cardiologist. Then the second one said, I want everybody in that funeral to say, I was a very good husband and faithful to my wife. Then they came to the third one and asked, what would you want? And this is what he said. I want the people there to say, oh, come on, see, he's alive and he's in heaven and he's enjoying Jesus. I think I would want to be like that guy. Death. Death is a reality. And I'm wondering about how you are today ready for it. But the coming weekend, bring more people, because the message next weekend is also good. We're going to be talking about what happens when Jesus comes back. He's coming again. Come on, say amen if you believe it. And thereafter, we're going to say, what happens thereafter? So get everybody, especially them who are not born again. We don't want nobody lying them out there, giving them fake information regarding the end times. So I want to give you right based on the word so that you are equipped as a Christian so that you can be relevant in our time. Very relevant in our time. I don't know about you if you ever talked to somebody on the subject of death, but I've asked a few people, and this is what they think. When I ask someone, what do you think happens when we die? Some people say nothing happens, nothing. We just get finished like goats, nothing. They think like that. Others think that if we die and you've been nice here in the world, you'll come again. But this time, you might come as an elephant. If you're a nice person, you'll come as a cow. But if you're really funny, you'll come like a cockroach. You know, that all that is wrong. We're not going to get it what is written in the Word of God. But in Africa, especially for our friends who are not from Africa, in Africa, most people, especially in Uganda and in the central, they think when a person dies, they stay around. They stay around for at least 40 days. And then they do a sorrow, and then the person goes away. Now, all that is a lie. Come on, if you know it's a lie, just accept, yeah, that's a lie. Got to get this right. Man, I got this, and I got to share with you, because it's excited with this one. Cute babies, they are in their mother's womb, two of them in the womb. I think they're twins, huh? So this is what the two babies were conversing in the mother's womb. This is what they said. One asked the other, do you believe in life after delivery? The other replied, why, of course. There has to be life after delivery. Maybe we are here to prepare ourselves for what will happen later. Nonsense, the first one said. There is no life after delivery. What kind of life would that be? The second said, I don't know, but there will be more light out there than here. Maybe we'll walk with our legs and eat with our mouth. Maybe we will have other senses that we can't understand really now. The first replied, that is absurd. Walking is impossible. Eating with our mouths, ridiculous. Umbilical cord supplies nutrition and everything we need, but the umbilical cord is so short. Life after delivery is logically excluded. The other baby, the second baby insisted, I think there is something and maybe it is different than it is here. Maybe we won't need this physical cord anymore. The first replied, nonsense. And moreover, if there is life, then why has no one ever come back to the womb after they delivered? Delivery is the end of life. And in the after delivery, there is nothing but darkness, silence, oblivion. It takes us nowhere. Well, I don't know, that's the kind one saying. But certainly we will meet mother, and she will take care of us. The first replied, mother? You actually believe there is a mother? That's laughable. If mother exists, then where is she now? The second said, she's all around us. We are surrounded by her. We are of her. It is in her that we live. Without her, this world would not and could not exist, said the first. Well, I don't see her, so it's only logical that she doesn't exist. The second one replied, sometimes when you are in silence and you focus and you really listen, you can perceive her presence. And you can hear mom loving voice calling down from above. Come on, every mom. Let's go for moms here. I think this is a beautiful story. The baby thinks that there is no mom, and yet all over them is mom. That's the same with us and God. That's the same with us and God. You may not see him in the physical, but all around you is his goodness. Come on, thank Jesus in this place. Come on, somebody, thank Jesus in this place. There is life beyond now. There's life beyond now. Nothing else makes us more helpless and proves us to be mortals than death. I want to let you know that every man has a great equalizer. It's called death. It doesn't matter if you're a dictator or you're a good person. It doesn't matter if you're a liar or you are a funny husband. It doesn't matter who you are, whoever you are. Death squares us all. Doesn't matter who you are. The final solution is actually death. So that death gets us to surrender to the one who gives life. The one who gives you and me life. Because he had a solution to death. Good Friday is God's solution to death. If you believe it, come on, somebody say amen. Good Friday, when Jesus died, and he resurrected and he came back to life. Now we have hope beyond death. We are able to stand and say, we can see beyond this life. Jesus, the one who died on Good Friday and resurrected on the Sunday, before he died, he described the picture of life after death. So come along with me. Come along with me. In Luke 16, I'm going to start from verse 19. It says like this. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. They didn't give him it, just what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died and angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and he was buried. He wasn't carried, he was buried in Hades, where he was tormented. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus in his side. So he called to him, said, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip just the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. But Abraham replied, son, Remember that in your lifetime, you received your good things while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to here. Verse 27, he answered, then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family. For I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment. Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets. Simply put, as for you today, you have the gospel. Pastor Brown preaches it every weekend. In their time, they had Moses and the prophets. But now you have the gospel and you've been told again and again. But if they have Moses and the prophets, let them listen to them. Verse 30, no, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. Verse 31, he said to him, Abraham said to him, if you do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. I want to pick three things that from what Jesus paints as the picture of life after death. I mean, if Jesus can say that there is life after death, you certainly need to believe it. So I hope today you're going to have a new mindset. If you've been having a different one from Jesus, you got to agree that this life is not the end. There's another life beyond this one. So, three things Jesus highlights in this portion of Scripture. One, there is life and consciousness after death. Both Lazarus and the rich man who was buried were conscious. They were aware of what was going on in their life even after death. That's what he said. That's how the other man knew he was in torment, and that's how Abraham was enjoying the bosom. I mean, Lazarus was enjoying the bosom of Abraham. But I want to make one area here clear. I don't want to rush over and you go with anything else other than the truth. Lazarus didn't end up in heaven because he was poor. Nor did the rich man end up in hell because he was rich. There is no relationship between being poor and going to heaven or being rich and going into heaven. I mean, going to hell. Those two don't determine how you get into either heaven or hell. So no one should quickly make you feel like it's okay to be poor so that you go to heaven. That does not take you anywhere. All right? The next thing I pick on from what Jesus said is this. Believers in God go into God's presence. Abraham received Lazarus because Lazarus believed in him. Now, this is who a believer is. A believer is somebody in our time. A believer is somebody who knows God sent his one and only son called Jesus. And he lived a normal life, sinless life, and he was killed for our sin. He was buried with all our sin, buried in that tomb. And he resurrected on the third day. He came, left the sin down there. He came alive, and he now presides over the church. He presides over everything, giving life to those who believe in him. It's not a head knowledge. It's a conviction of the Holy Spirit in your heart, and you firmly walk in it. That's what a Christian is. So those people, when they die, they go into a place of joy. That's what a believer is. That's what a Christian is. They go into the presence of God. Now, I want to make another thing clear under this. We realize that Lazarus went into the presence of God, not so much because of what he did, but so much because he believed. That's key that you have. I want you to connect that with what is written in Luke 23. Because you cannot have it your way, you can only have it God's way. In Luke 23, it's written like this, verse 43. It says, Jesus answered him. In other words, there was a rich guy who thought he was doing so wonderfully. Actually, the other version say a king. So he came to Jesus and said, how would I make it to eternal life? So Jesus answered him, truly I tell you today, I know I'm mixing up that up a bit. Guys, sorry. But let me paraphrase the story so that you connect with the point. There is a rich man who came to Jesus and asked, how would I get into heaven? And he said he has kept all the commandments, everything. But Jesus told him, go and sell them. He refused. He walked away. He walked away from Jesus. In other words, unless we believe in this Jesus, there's no way we can inherit. You can have we cram the whole Ten Commandments and all the scriptures, but unless you believe in this Jesus, that head knowledge won't help you, won't give you access to heaven. Believers end up in the presence of God. And it has to be through dying that we will live this life. You go to confess Jesus. The other scripture that I want to mention for you was Luke 23. But in that Luke 23 was also a man who understood that he was about to face death and he needed to go beyond the place of death. You know, when Jesus was killed, two men were also killed on that day. They were thieves. One scorned, scoffed, despised Jesus. The other one honored and worshipped him. And the other one who scorned said, you set free other people. You set yourself free and me and us too. Then someone rebuked him and said, don't you fear God? So he turned on to Jesus and said like this in verse 43. Lord, verse 42, he says, Lord, remember me when you reach paradise. And Jesus answered him like this in verse 43. Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. In other words, he did not need to go through a lot of the other processes. All he needed was to confess Jesus before dying. What am I saying there? Like Lazarus believed in God before he died. This man, thief, was killed with Jesus. He had to confess before dying. You cannot do it in any other way. The other key thing about that portion we read is this. Some people make us feel when we die, there's a yet another opportunity for those who are still around here to pray for you so that you are translated from the place of torment to heaven. This too tells us it's not correct. When you die, you head into paradise or you head into hell. There is no waiting place where your family can gather and then they pay some money for you so that God changes his mind and says, now come to heaven. The scripture tells me that God is not a man that will change his mind. He doesn't promise and not keep. He is going to keep because he's a God of justice. So your life here is key, my friend. Your life here is key. I like the way Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, like this, 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, like, we are confident, I say, and will rather be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. I'm not trying to paint this picture. This is what happens. You remember from the creation that God breathed his life in clay and became life. So in dying, there's a separation of the Spirit of God that he breathed in Adam, and now we also share. There's a separation from that spirit, from the physical body that we carry, and the spirit, the soul, goes back to heaven. Actually, nothing that is of the world goes into heaven. So the spirit goes back. That's the separation. That's what we mean by death. That is what you always hear in funerals when they're burying somebody. They say, dust to dust. They understand that. That dust to dust. And actually, before people got this idea of having concrete graves, when they bury you, that place comes very fertile. And they plant other things because you're back to dust. You would plant very good matoke there. You're back to dust. But the spirit has gone back to God. And from scripture, we also know that instantly, that, like I said, that thief who worshipped Jesus at the cross, that night, he was in paradise. And we know also from what we are told in Hebrews 9:27, that it's appointed upon man once to die and then judgment. There is an instant reality that gets you when you die. You are in the presence of God and decisions are made, whether in heaven or in hell. I'm going to try and make this clear. Because this thing blessed me. There was a time when I was not a Christian. Then I came to this church and I was scared about it. There's a drama called Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. I came with my fellow boys from college and were queuing all the way from Shore House, the other building across there. And I told them on the queue that these born-again Christians want to trick us into being saved, but let's not accept. So we queued and we came in, and they started things here. They gave us reality of heaven's gates and hell's flames. And now you know which gate I used. I used heaven's gates because I believed in Jesus. What about you today? Are you sure that you've already made a decision that Jesus is your Lord? You got to be sure. By the end of today, you got to make a decision. If you already made that decision, you got to affirm it by the end of this service. Scripture actually tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:10 that, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, while here on earth, whether good or bad. What that really means is this. Now that we are here, if you're a believer, all the things you do, the good stuff you do, is good. That's not what takes you to heaven. Because what takes you to heaven is believing in God. But the good work is that now that you know God, you respond. You love him back by being good to the people around you. I'm sure there's some child somewhere who has no parent. And even if he has a parent, maybe the parent's so poor. There's some widow somewhere who is so vulnerable and needs somebody to care. There could be somebody somewhere who needs you to reach out to them with the gospel. That's doing good. But that's not what takes you to heaven. Ephesians 2 says like this in verse 9, salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Now that we know God, you do the good things to the glory of his name. The third thing I want to mention out of that portion we read, then you can go home for lunch. Is there a lunch at home? Then you can go home for lunch. Is this one. The non-Christian, the non-believer goes to hell. We are not the ones making that decision. God already made his mind up that if we don't believe in Jesus, we go to hell. That's what happened to the rich man. Allow me to paint that picture of what hell is. Because we don't want to gloss this. Today, people present you some nice 5 points on how you can be successful. And you're successful into hell. They give you some 5 steps to living a victorious life. And you're victorious into hell. But we want to tell you the truth and the reality, not so much that you are scared, but it's okay to be scared if it is to heaven. It's better that you're scared for now and have a whole eternity of peace than now you're comfortable and you have the whole eternity of misery. What is better? I think I'd rather be scared a bit, but I'm not scaring you. I'm telling you the truth. So come along with me. We read in verse 24 of that Luke 16 like this. In verse 24, so he called the rich man, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue because I am in agony here. Hell is full of agony. It's not a good place. It's not a good place, so don't want to try and go there. It is a place of misery and troubles. If I were you, I would not go there. Let me give you another description. It's the Bible describing it. Come along with me. Mark 9 says like this. Mark 9, 43 says like this. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life maimed than to have 2 hands and go to hell, where there is fire, where the fire never goes out. Think about that. Fire never goes out there. Verse 45, if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with 1 eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell where worms eat them. Think about the socket of your eye. Think about worms in there. Worms in the socket of your eye. Think about worms all over you. That's what the scripture is saying. Worms will eat them and they do not die. The worms don't die. Think about that. Worms in all over them. They are just enjoying you. That's what hell is about. And the fire is not quenched. Ezekiel tells us somewhere that in that place, the tongue of the people in hell is just having maggots. Tongue. Your tongue is having maggots. And the maggots are not dying. Even you are not dying. And you're experiencing the agony there. That is what hell is. I mean, Revelation says that you'll be cast into the abyss, which was meant for Satan. And that's key. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. The scripture tells us that it was prepared for Satan and his angels, not for you and me. It's key that you get that. So, in light of this, as you're going home now, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do in light of this? The first thing I want to tell you, just to apply. Wisdom is when you receive the truth and you apply it, you don't just hear it. James also tells us so. So do the following. 1, you can do more, but I want to give you 3. 1, live holy. Live holy. Live holy. Live for the Lord, in other words. Scripture actually tells us that without holiness, nobody will see the Lord. Nobody should deceive you that there's no connection between your sin and the physical body and your spirit. And you know, God is so gracious, it doesn't matter. That is not true. You got to receive the Lord today. Let the truth be that you're living for God, holy. The next thing that I would ask you to do is this. Preach the gospel. Go and tell the world about Jesus. Go and tell the world about Jesus. Go and tell the world about Jesus. And the third one is this. Pray.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We hope this message has inspired you to spread the love of Jesus. If you would love to know more information about us, please visit www.watotochurch.com.